good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, July the 31st, last day of July 2018. 17 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. Now, we will be joined momentarily by really the father of conservative talk, Barry Farber. Hopefully he calls in here momentarily. Until we hear from Barry, we are going to do some trivia because we've been having a lot of fun with that over the last couple days, trying to get some questions answered and learning, hopefully, along the way. Now, I do want to remind people that the WWGH Reports special from the Marion with the Marion Prison Choir will air this coming Friday, August the 3rd, from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m., and then from 9:10 p.m. until 10 p.m. So you won't want to miss that. Thank you. Again, Friday, August the 3rd, 6:10 to 7 p.m. and 9:10 to 10 p.m. That's our interviews at the Marion Correctional Facility. We had interviews with choir director Catherine Roma, two inmates and members of the choir, and clips of the choir rehearsing. So that's all Friday, 6:10 to 7 p.m. and 9:10 until 10 p.m. this coming Friday. Also, Swap Shop with Terry Tackett debuted last night here on WWGH Radio. That will be on every Monday from 5:10 to 6 p.m. Now, you can call the regular number, 740-383-9944, between 5:10 and 6 p.m. on Monday and Friday to swap your items. So don't miss that. Swap Shop with Terry Tackett every Monday and Friday between 5:10 and 6 p.m. Also, coming up this Thursday at 12 p.m., right at 12 p.m., we're going to be joined in studio from 12 to 12:25 by our current representative, Jim Jordan, and we thank him for making us a stop on his visit. And that should be a very interesting interview. So we are looking forward to Thursday with our representative, Jim Jordan. So that is coming up as well. We're going to take a quick break here, try to make contact with Barry Farber, and started. Write us very short but important timeout. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this last day of July 2018. And we're going to have a great time this hour. But I do want to give you a programming note again. Coming up this Friday,
My report from the Marion Correctional Institute, we were able to go in and hear the prison choir, interview two of the inmates and members of the choir, and also talk with Catherine Roma, who is the director of the prison choir, and you will also hear the choir rehearsing. That's Friday, August the 3rd, 6:10 to 7 p.m. and 9:10 to 10 p.m. Also, coming up this Thursday, August the 2nd, at 12 p.m., for 25 minutes, we will have Representative Jim Jordan, our representative in this district, who is also possibly going to be Speaker of the House. A lot going on with Jim Jordan. It'll be his first interview in this district since all of the hullabaloo that's been going on around this Speaker of the House, Representative Jordan throwing his hat in the ring. So that'll be Thursday, live in studio, Jim Jordan, 12 to 12:25. Now this hour, I want to tell you a little story. Back in May, I was very honored to be invited on as a guest of this gentleman on his long-running talk program. He is the father of conservative talk shows. Had there not been this person, there could not have been Sean Hannity, there could not have been Rush Limbaugh, there could not have been Bill O'Reilly. As far as I'm concerned, he was the first guy to do it way back when, and we're so glad he's still doing it. And as I say, it was a pleasure for me to be on his program back in May, and I am glad he's back on this program here on the last day of July, the legendary Barry Farber. Barry, hello, how are you?
Oh, Scott, you've destroyed my Air Force on the ground. How can I live up to that pleasant paternity that you have imputed to me? What an honor. I can live for a month on a compliment like that.
Well, it's all true, Barry, and it must give you a great feeling to know that these people are continuing the work that you also continue to do.
Well, you know, I think my grandson summed it up best. When I started, we were poorly paid, very poorly paid, hardly a living wage. Today, most of you guys are literally millionaires. So my grandson said to me, you know, Grandpa, you were big in the old days, and now you're old in the big days. I can't argue with that.
Barry, as I told the audience, I was lucky enough to be a guest on your program in May. You're still doing the work. What keeps you going?
I haven't yet found the magic bullet. I'm still fishing around for some dimension that we haven't seized upon yet. Everything is current events, Mueller, commotion, collusion. That's all we hear. We are married. We are hostage to the headlines. And I think that whoever comes up with a breakout, I place a lot of stock in stories. Like, for instance, I didn't comment yesterday on the real material that the Italian Prime Minister and President Trump discussed. It gave me a chance to talk about Italy. The world owes Italy an apology that's been brushed off since 1945. Everybody laughed at the Italians because they performed so miserably in World War II. We got it all wrong. The Italians had no taste. They had no stomach to be fighting as an ally of the late Adolf Hitler. They surrendered, get this, Scott, literally, by the division. When the British Eighth Army broke the Field Marshal Rommel's back at El Alamein in Egypt, North Africa, the Italians, who were allied to the Germans, came out with their hands up, surrendering entire divisions. we should thank the Italians for being such a poor ally to the Nazi Germans. Go back through history, and you'll see that when there is normal motivation, the Italians perform as well as anybody else. Any Jew who could reach the Italian zone in World War II, where the Italians occupied, were protected from the Allied Nazi barbarism, murder. Unfortunately, the Italians only occupied the French Riviera and Slovenia, which, by the way, is where our First Lady is from. The Italians occupied what was then that province of Yugoslavia, now the independent country of Slovenia. Okay, you get my drift. Am I going to keep an audience with that?
It's good.
I don't know, but I think there ought to be some dimension other than being harnessed to the headlines.
I think
you... By the way, you were very good. You were excellent. I'm still thinking, I still smile when I think about the relationship you forged with Helen Thomas. That was wonderful. That kind of story is our solid fuel. I think we should turn to stories, not just current headlines.
I think that's true. I think everybody does have a story, and I think sometimes we are too much in the headlines. But I think this is important because we haven't talked since May, and a lot of things have happened between May and now, and I just want to get your read on some of these current events that have happened. When you watched the meeting with President Trump and President Putin 2 weeks ago yesterday, what did you make of that press conference?
Well, I was dismayed. You know, Scott, in politics, it's not what is, it's what your enemies can make of what is. And you and I have both seen what the enemies of the Trump administration made of that summit. I think history is going to be a lot happier with that sit-down, Putin-Trump, than the Democratic Party. However, tomorrow there's another headline. And here's the president having scored, you can't deny him that, having scored the points with North Korea, with what he did about North Korea. Now he's trying to apply the same formula to Iran. But hold it, these are headlines today worth following. These headlines are exempt from any exile. We have to pay attention to this because I am staggered. Maybe you have an answer. I am staggered. In boxing, you don't lead with your jaw. You protect your jaw. I can come to no other conclusion except that President Trump was planning, consciously, articulately planning a shutdown for which his administration will be blamed. What is this? Why? How? We just heard on one of the news talk stations that he wants to forget about the House and concentrate on the Senate. That is criminally insane. The Republicans have a chance to hold the House. Some say they have a chance to hold their current lead, and a hearty few say that they can increase their lead. Why is Trump committing suicide by deliberately bringing on this shutdown? Beats me.
Well, there were two questions that came out of the Putin-Trump summit for me. And the first one was, I've been hearing for 2 years now out of President Trump's own mouth, and when he was candidate Trump, I heard this out of his mouth, that Putin did not want him to be president. Putin wanted Hillary. He was going to be more difficult on Russia than anybody had ever been. And then when he was standing next to Putin, The reporter asked Putin, who did you prefer to win the last election? And live, no camera tricks, Putin said, President Trump. So my question is, why did Vladimir Putin, out of his own mouth now, want President Trump to win the election?
I think you're absolutely right. He knew that he could play President Hillary Clinton like children's Play-Doh. He could fashion anything he wanted out of a Hillary Clinton White House, a Hillary Clinton foreign policy. Whereas Trump was known not to be a patsy. If I were Putin, I think I would have wanted Hillary to win and Trump to be destroyed forever.
But that's not what he said.
No, exactly. Well, by the way, think about it, Scott. What else could he say? He was a guest at Trump's table, and they blindsided him with that question. The only acceptable answer could have been Donald Trump.
But if I was Vladimir Putin, who is not a dumb man, and I'm President Trump, who I don't think is a dumb man, if he had just said the opposite, or he had said, I didn't have a preference, that would have gone over a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, because
I see your point.
What he said was worse.
Yeah, that was a wonderful opportunity for him to say, we're busy enough running Russia. The Russians, we don't have time to run other countries. He could have played that for points. He could have.
Right. And the other thing that made me, because the one thing we can say about President Trump is, again, in his own words, when he is hit, he hits back 10 times harder. He certainly is an outspoken man. I don't think anybody would deny that. So what I was confused about was when the summit was going on, he said, now, the 12 Russians were indicted by Mueller by name on Friday.
Right.
This summit happened on Monday. And President Trump said, I have no reason to believe it would be Russia. Then the next day at the White House, he said, I misspoke. I meant to say wouldn't have been Russia. And then 4 days later, he said, I don't think Russia interfered. So I don't know which it is. Which is it, Barry?
Well, he was just trying to take the heat off, trying to calm things down by looking for an escape hatch, and I don't think it was a very good one. I don't think you were bowled over. I don't think your socks were flying around the studio when he said, oh, it was a double negative, I misspoke. It wouldn't have been Russia. No, that was poor. Trump was changing. He was retreating, obviously. Gee, I sound like an anti-Trumper. Maybe the most pro-Trump guest you've had in the past 3 or 4 months, I don't know. But that was a very poor moment, looking for some sort of convoluted grammatical double negative. No, wrong. He said what he meant at first, and then he tried to extricate himself from it, did not do a good job.
And that leads me to the question, because, Barry, we've known each other long enough to, you know, I am somebody who asks questions. And what, you know, by his own presidency of a year and a half at this point, he doesn't take things back. He doesn't apologize. He doesn't do that. So why did he do it this time?
I think he wanted to achieve the opposite of what the result was. He wanted to win that summit. He wanted to win that moment. He wanted to prevail. He wanted to look good. And he didn't. But hey, turn your neck around. Other things make him look good. How do you like the 4.1 growth economically, with a promise of even bigger things to come? That's monumental. I thought the economy was supposed to, you know, once upon a time there was a battle cry during the Clinton administration, it's the economy, stupid. Well, now those who preach the economy are looking kind of stupid. The economy is not bringing Trump good numbers for himself. Why?
Well,
that's a complete revolution right there.
Well, I think the difference is, and this is only my observation, is that it's not that Trump doesn't deserve credit for good things that he's doing, and the North Korea summit was covered as much as the Russian summit was.
That's right.
But the difference is why it's not about the economy right now, and why his numbers are not great because of it, is because Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, President Obama, they were not under investigation for Russian collusion. And over 180 people had not been indicted, and 12 Russians had not been indicted 3 days earlier.
Well, the indictment of the Russians is for home consumption. That's supposed to make Americans proud and happy. They will never be extradited by the Russian Federation government. They will never stand trial in America. That was just a feel-good exercise. But, you know, Scott, here we are embroiled in the headlines and taking everything at face value. I would be dishonest if I did not inject my protest here that what is going on is very easy to understand. I understand it, I think, better than most of my fellow pro-Trumpers. There is indeed a sincere effort, first of all, to stop Trump from becoming president. And now that he's become president, there is a sincere effort to get him out of the presidency, some way or another. I think they are sincere. The other side, my adversaries, those who disagree with my position, are very, very sincere. They love America. They believe that Trump is unfit to serve. They are sincere. But sincerity is no excuse for stupidity. Now that President Trump has shown us what kind of tap dancing he can do, I think you are inadequate if you don't get behind him the way we traditionally get behind our leaders and do everything we can do for a successful America. I think it is arch blasphemy to wish failure for the United States in order to get rid of somebody you think is unfit, no matter how sincerely you believe that.
Well, I don't think that... Let me pose the question this way, Barry. And people can go back and check my record on this. When Bill Clinton was impeached, he should have been. He lied under oath. I believe he lied under oath. And the House was exactly right to do what they did. Richard Nixon, I'm not sure that Richard Nixon ordered the cover-up. I've never seen the evidence or ordered the break-in. But I do know that he ordered the cover-up. I heard it in his own words. So I do think that Barry Goldwater telling him that the best thing to do was to resign probably was. I don't know why this investigation has to be a joke, because I didn't think either of those investigations were a joke. And if Mueller comes back and says there's nothing, that Trump knew nothing, that there was no collusion, that no votes were changed, if that's what he comes back and says, then it's over, and Trump will have 6.5 more years to do what he wants to do. But is there, let me put it, so saying all that, Is there anything, when this investigation comes back, that you would believe?
Is there anything that I would believe?
If it comes back, because we know this. I read the last indictment, the indictment of the 12 Russians. And there were specifics in that, that the day that President Trump campaigning said, look for her emails, Russia, 29 minutes later, they did look for her emails. And the indictment also says that they hacked into the voter rolls in 39 states. 500,000 people's voter information was compromised prior to the election. Do you believe that happened? Because that's spelled out in the last indictment.
Well, I'm coming out of the cave here with my hands up. I've never heard such a lurid description of what the Russians achieved with their meddling. I've never heard vote change, outcome change, result all change. I've never heard that alleged until 1 minute ago.
I'm not saying that they changed them. I'm just saying that the indictment by Mueller says that the Russians did hack into the voter rolls in 39 states, and they did have access to 500,000 people's information. They haven't said that votes were changed. They just said the information was compromised. And they also said that 29 minutes after candidate Trump said, Russia, look for Hillary's emails, they did. And the indictment also said that it was the Russians who hacked the DNC's emails and got Podesta's emails and leaked them. That's all in the indictment.
So, what is your conclusion then?
Well, the investigation's not over, but I do know that happened because that's what Mueller is saying. I'm asking, do you believe that happened?
No, I don't believe that the Russians cracked the code and made their way through all the voting records in 30-some states. Does that mean they could look at what was going on in 36 states, or that they could change votes in 36 states? That's murky. What is your understanding?
I don't know yet. I think that's why the investigation's not over. Because there are two things, now let's be very clear, because I want to be fair, two things that have not been said are that Trump knew about it. That's never been written out anywhere, and I'm only talking indictments. I'm not talking in speculation. Nobody has said that Trump knew, and nobody is saying that votes were changed. But the investigation, on the other hand, is also not over. But the three things I just said were spelled out in the indictment 3 weeks ago. The 29 minutes looking for her emails, the 39 states, voter rolls being compromised, and over 500,000 plus voter information being compromised.
Scott, is it possible that because it has taken so long, Mueller has to come up with something? It can't just be plain old vanilla. What you're giving me could pacify, could explain why it took so long and why it took so many millions of taxpayer dollars. Follow the money trail, or better yet, Sherlock Holmes's battle cry, cui bono, who benefits, who benefits. The more people believe that there was the extent of connivance that you yourself suggested, the more people who believe that, the less heat will be on Mueller to come up with something substantial. Now, forgive me if I do an open-faced card trick here that everybody sees through. I did not know that Marion, Ohio, was in Congressman Jordan's district, I heaved a sigh when I saw the difficulty he was in. Remember my battle cry, Scott, in politics it's not what is, it's what your enemies can make of what is. And I think Jim Jordan's ordeal at the moment is a perfect example of that. What helps me, what propels me, is during those years he was a wrestling coach at Ohio State, I was a wrestler for the University of North Carolina. You've got to add the zeitgeist. The best word we ever stole from Germany is Zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, the zeitgeist. If we knew that there was a pedophile or some doctor who, no matter what your complaint was, you had to lower your pants, if we knew that, we would laugh about it. The idea of putting on a frown and going to the authorities with the kind of protest that you get hanged in public if you don't go through today, I am propelled to throw my little weight against what is going on. That is so insincere. So the attack on, and mind you, I would not necessarily be a Jordan voter, although being a conservative, most likely I would. But that's not why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm saying I am too close in my mind. You've got to add the culture of the times. The culture of that time indicated the good old boys would laugh it off and maybe warn the younger ones. But the idea of doing anything beyond that just was not called for in that culture. You're going retroactively now, and our Constitution strictly forbids ex post facto legislation.
Well, let me say two things, Barry, because I do want to talk about Representative Jordan, because he will be here on Thursday. But I want to finish up the Trump thing just to say this. The assertions that were made on the air here are not my assertions. Those are in Mueller's indictments that are in federal court. Now, anybody can read those. That's not something that I'm conjecturing on. That's what he has included very specifically in his indictment filed 3 weeks ago. But again, I want to say, even if all of that was done, and President Trump did not know about it, then there's no problem. Russia's in trouble, but Trump, if he didn't know about it, then he's okay. And he keeps saying he didn't know about it. So
well, let me put you on the witness stand. This was Mueller's investigation, right?
I think so, yes.
All right. Now, would Mueller prefer that you and I and hundreds of our colleagues throughout the American media and the general public, would Mueller prefer a ho-hum or a gee-whiz? That's all my suggestion is implicit. He needs a gee-whiz to justify what he has already taken from the American taxpayer.
Well, but to be fair, again, this investigation is still shorter than Benghazi's, is still shorter than the email investigation, is still shorter than Whitewater, is still shorter than Bill Clinton's perjury, is still shorter than Watergate. This investigation hasn't gone on as long as those did. And I don't remember Republicans saying shut down the Benghazi investigation. It's went on too long and spent too much money. We had to get to the end. And again, if the end says that Trump did not know, then he's okay. He doesn't need Giuliani. He doesn't need anything. If he didn't know, then he's got no worries. I mean, am I wrong on that?
No, you're right on that. But Scott, a woman need not be fat to be charming. The length of an investigation is of some passing interest, but it's not total. You need different techniques. You need different imperatives when you're pursuing a whitewater and a Benghazi than you do in an allegation that I still don't understand the crime. I feel like the biggest failure in the history of talk radio. I was politically conscious at the age of 8. I remember being angry that Hitler took Austria, but I sort of knew, I knew everything. I knew that Schuschnigg, the Prime Minister of Austria, was in trouble. I knew when Pilsudski in Poland was in trouble. I don't know if my president is in trouble today. I don't know. We've been dancing around the campfire here. Do you think that Trump is vulnerable to removal? If so, then it is very interesting that we stay where we are. If not, it will pass.
I don't know. See, that's the, my answer to your question would be, I don't know. I would not have said that Bill Clinton would have been impeached over Whitewater, and he wasn't impeached over anything that went on with Whitewater. It was Ken Starr asked him another question about something completely different, being Monica Lewinsky, under oath, and he lied about that. So during the Whitewater investigation, if you would have came and said, will Bill Clinton be impeached over this, I might have said, well, no, I don't think he will, but I did not know that they were going to ask him if he was having extramarital affairs. I'm not sure what that had to do with Whitewater.
Scott, have you noticed the shift in American culture even since the Clinton days? I mean, remember the battle cry of Clinton's defenders? He only lied about sex.
That's true.
So that doesn't count, because don't we all lie about sex? He only lied about sex. I remember that. That is invalid today. It takes our breath away that a Stormy, whatever her name was, Stormy Daniels, is that her name?
Yes, that's her.
It takes your breath away that the mere a porn star being paid hush money by a president, well, that's and even the Clinton culture, that would have been 30 days in the electric chair. The culture moves on. We got to move along with it.
Right, and if that's all it is, if it's just paying hush money to women he had affairs with, I don't think that would get him removed from office. But that's not what the Mueller investigation is investigating. The Mueller investigation is investigating to what degree did Russia interfere in the election, and did President Trump know about it? And to say that it's not a moving story is not true, because we've had over 100 people indicted, including his security advisor, his campaign manager, his campaign manager's business associate, Papadopoulos, who worked in the White House, and they have pled guilty. They're not saying they're innocent. The only one who hasn't pled guilty is Manafort. So there's some problems here. And now, again, we don't know if Trump knew. And if he didn't know, he's fine. But if we do find out at the end that he did know, there could be trouble coming his way.
How can you prove you didn't know something?
If there's no it's on Mueller to prove that he did know. So there would have to be some communication, an email, a phone call, one of his people turning on him, flipping on him, I guess, who've been indicted, saying that he did with corroboration. If there's none of that, then he's okay. But if there is, would you believe it anyway?
Well, now we are deep in the bowels of the law. We know what it means when somebody being squeezed by an ambitious prosecutor. We know what it means when we say he is singing like a canary. What if he goes beyond singing? And in legal language, that's called composing. If he doesn't stop at what he knows, but amplifies what he knows, exaggerates the maximum effect, that's what we have to watch out for, because that is to the benefit of those who are going to pull that on us.
And I don't think that would be enough. And I think some of his people, like Cohen, are questionable. I think that's very valid. But I think, again, the problem is Mueller has his taxes. Now, if we find out that he does owe money to Russia, that might be a problem. If we find out that he did know Vladimir Putin prior to being president, which he said he didn't, that would be a suspect thing. And back to one question, just so we can leave a little time to talk about Representative Jordan here, because the Mueller investigation will be what it will be. You said Putin would have much rather had Hillary, and it was just a misspeak at the summit. But we now know, because of the indictment, and I invite anybody to look at it, that Mueller made 3 weeks ago, that when Trump said at the campaign rally, Russia, look for her emails, they did. And we also know that they're the ones who stole Podesta's emails and leaked them out. Now, this is before Trump becomes president. Now, again, not saying that Trump knew that, but why were they out to damage Hillary Clinton if she would have been easier for them in office?
Well, all I know is, knowing what I know, which is what you know and what those of us know who are in the media, so we know more because we care more, but eventually we bloody our nose against an iron door. Knowing what we know, I would have wanted Hillary to win in a landslide. Hillary would have been a patsy. Look what that little fraternity house stunt she pulled with the reset button with Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister. No. I think you've got a very comprehensive grasp on it, Scott. I would say, you and I have been talking a long time now, and I would say have your secretary type it and I'll sign it.
Well, I just say it'll be interesting to see what happens, because when the final, I am willing to say before the final comes out, I believe whatever the indictment says. Whatever Mueller's investigation turns up, if it says Trump is clear, and I'll take that. If it says he knew, I'll take that. Would you say the same? Will you believe the outcome of the Mueller investigation?
Well, I give you a grudging yes, because I believe it is part. I think if Trump had been a conventional, may I use the word again, vanilla candidate, I don't think there would be a stampede to remove him from office. Those who are in this cabal, everybody knows who they are, they think they don't see themselves as king killers. They see themselves as patriots. They think that they are proud that they are trying to remove this president in a humane way and not in any barbaric way. They want to be congratulated for that. Impeachment, guilty of all these crimes, that's what they just want Trump out. I believe that is the solid fuel behind all of this, and I believe it because it makes my liberal friends so infuriated when any of us question the motivation behind what we now know as the Mueller witch hunt.
In 90 seconds, I want to come back to Representative Jordan, because he'll be here Thursday at 12 o'clock. You mentioned the allegations about the high school coach, and you made a very comprehensive case as to why, if Representative Jordan did know that it was a different time, should be looked at in a different way. And I can see that. I think your case is very good. So my question is, if that's the case, what you just said, the zeitgeist, you have to look at when it happened, which is over 30 years ago. If he did know, and it's just because of the time, and he wasn't doing it, and the doctor was doing it unfortunately, why not just say that?
I'm sorry, I missed the last word. Why not what?
Yeah, if that is the case that you laid out, that
right.
It was a different time, you know, he shouldn't be taken to task for it if he knew about it, why not say that? Why not just say, yes, I knew?
Well, no, because of the, there's a little bit of prosecutor in all of us, I guess. He had to come forth and say, no, I didn't know anything, which I think is preposterous. I think Jim Gordon knew, but he was forced by political evil of today. Like Putin had only one answer. He didn't have your quickness of thought, Scott. Putin didn't say, well, I would have had no preference. I'm too busy running the Russian Federation to try to interfere with anybody else. And we wish them all well. And they are democratically. And they, oh, here you have. Putin could have picked up that ball and run the whole 100 yards. For Jordan now to say he didn't know anything about it, where everybody says everybody knew everything about it, I think my case is the one. I just wish that Congressman Jordan had chosen that path.
So you, and not to put words, I want to make sure I say this right, you think that he lied when he said he didn't know?
Oh, I hate to have to answer that question. Lying, lie is such a terribly strong word. I am saying there was a little bit of deliberate amnesia, self-inflicted amnesia, in who knew what. It's lost in the fog of 3 decades ago. Maybe the public would not have. Maybe people wiser than I suggested that he use the zeitgeist change, the cultural shift since 30 years ago, and decided, no, that will not be enough.
Well,
and angry, vindictive people in the middle of a hot political race, they can be very demanding. And maybe his advisors thought about it, went into prayer, fasting, and meditation, and came up with the conclusion that, no, it was a different time. That won't wash. He's got to not know anything about it at all.
Let's say this just to be fair, because he'll be here Thursday. What he did, knowing about it, is not illegal. He would not have been removed from office or charged with anything. And he has won this district overwhelmingly for a long time. And he's running against the person he beat the last two elections by more than double-digit margins, more than 25% of the vote. So I don't know if he's in danger of losing, no matter what. It's not like he's in a tight race here. So I don't know. I take him at his word. When he says he didn't know, until I know otherwise, I believe he didn't know. But we'll see what happens. See, Barry,
Wait. I missed the most important part again. You said you believe he did not know?
Until I'm proven otherwise. Until he's proven otherwise. I take him at his word at this point.
Well, imagine a panel of his enemies today, and Jim explains that in his day, everybody was warned, a lot of laughter, a lot of bad jokes, an issue, the young ones called it, young people they would call it, and that guy, that doctor was definitely an issue, yeah. Say he didn't know it, everybody knew everything. It's just if you were to, if Jim had done what I feel is the honest, earnest thing, the change, the shift in American culture, then the young people today would spring the length of their chain and sink their fangs into me and say, "You mean you would laugh at a pedophile? You would have a few laughs and a few bad jokes and let a pedophile continue?" Maybe the motion was brought up in Jim's innermost circle and found wanting.
Well, he'll be here. Barry, you should call him and talk to him. He'll be here Thursday. Call him before Thursday and he'll be here, and don't miss Jim Jordan. See, Barry, there's never enough time with you. That's the problem. You are one of my favorites. I enjoy you immensely. I enjoy being a guest on your program, and I hope you will always take up the invite to come on this program because it's an honest, factual, truthful conversation as always. I love you, and my best to you always, and anytime you need anything, give me a call, and I will do the same.
Scott, I'm staggered. I'm floored. I return your compliment in manifold dimension on all counts. Swallow that and do the staff work. I second your emotion on all counts. I return your compliment, and it's a big one. Thank you very much.
Stay well, Barry.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care, Scott. Bye-bye now.
Keep your computers running right, and you want to get the latest news and information, listen to Adam the Computer Guy.